him. Catch, touchdown.
Stop it. Stop it. You can't do this. You can't escape. You can't make these plays. You can't make these throws.
Jacobs cutting back. Getting to the edge. Jacobs is in for the touchdown.
I just don't remember anybody doing what this young man has done so far in the league.
It's fourth down and one.
Welcome to Fourth and One. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. And folks, I'm almost certain that you had this podcast circled on your calendar when the Chiefs season began, because it is Patriots week. It is obviously a rematch of last year's AFC Championship game. It's a must-win game for the Chiefs if they have any hopes of having a bye in the postseason. A huge game coming up. Of course, it's in Boston, because Kansas City always has to play in Boston these days. The Patriots don't have to come here unless, you know, it's the playoffs. But Nick, I ask every week, but how excited are you for this game?
I'm curious to see how the test goes, but I mean, if you think I'm running up and down the hallway, just super excited and saying, "Let's do this," that's not happening.
Well, I checked the surveillance video in the building from last week, and you were doing that after the Chiefs beat the Raiders, I think.
You know how I know you're lying? You don't have access to it.
All right. Well, we'll just, I still jogging. Then you were jogging.
I was not jogging. I was not jogging. I was not briskly walking. I was not mall walking.
Just fist pumping.
I was not doing that either. Mm-hmm. This isn't Jersey Shore, Todd.
You know what? Next time I'm going to take video of it and put it on TikTok. I think that's where the kids look for all the sweet dance moves these days.
I don't even. I'm aware of what it is. I don't personally have it on as an app on my phone.
Oh, I do. I'm hip.
Congrats, I guess. Good job.
No, I don't even have Instagram, dude. I'm old. I'm officially old. I'm as old as the station's call letters. And we are 41 Action News, so that should be a hint.
So you're telling me you're 38?
Yeah, I'm KMCI years old. But seriously, this is a very intriguing game, because I think... you know, when Patrick Mahomes got hurt, and then, you know, he comes back and they lose to the Titans, and then they beat the Chargers, but it wasn't exactly an authoritative victory. The offense hasn't played lights out the last few weeks around the bye. And I think this one, the Chiefs, I think, have, both teams have a lot to play for. The Patriots, I think, want the number one seed, so it's a must-win game for them, in terms of keeping pace with the Ravens. And you've also got the Buffalo Bills nipping right on their heels. They can't afford to drop a game if they want to win the division again. But, you know, again, like I said earlier, the Chiefs, if they want to have any chance at a bye, they need to win out, and they need help, in the form of the Titans beating Houston and probably Buffalo beating the Patriots or something like that if they're going to get up to that number two seed. So, big game for this one. The defense has been playing better. Do you think that the defense for the Chiefs matches up well with the Patriots in this one?
I would like to think so based on tape, but they go out there and surprise me sometimes when it doesn't work out for them. So
good and bad, though, right? I mean, sometimes they surprise you in good ways.
Sometimes, yeah, and a lot of times, you know, it's I'm like, well,
there's Tennessee games too.
There are, and that will be in my head and my heart for quite some time. Right. So I'm not ready to jump.
You're a
on
wounded
that.
Man, sir.
Always, always. What can I say? Loyalty has an expiration date. Okay.
Oh, it does?
Remember that. Yes.
When did your loyalty with me expire?
I guess we'll find out.
Was it like March?
I guess we'll find out someday, won't we? but anyways, continuing on. The Chiefs, there's ways they can attack the Patriots and do some damage to them. And there's teams that have shown them guided the way to potentially do it. It's just a matter of if the Chiefs can execute it.
Yeah, I mean, the offense for the Patriots, quite frankly, has been pretty poor this year. And how much of that do you attribute to losing Trent Brown in a lot of respects? Because last year, if you think back to the AFC Championship game last year, they lined up and they just bullied the Chiefs and basically took up, 10 minutes on that opening drive and scored a touchdown and really served notice about how they were going to play. They could line up and bully you last year in the run game. They aren't able to do that this year, and then that impacts everything else they do because their wide receivers are lackluster. They struggle to get separation. Even at a bunch where even when they try to scheme it, these guys just can't get open a lot of times. And you don't have Rob Gronkowski anymore, who made up for a lot of that. So, I mean, is it as simple as Trent Brown and the inability to establish a power run game, and then combined with the absence of Rob Gronkowski, is that why this offense is like plummeted to earth so quick?
No, I'm not putting it all on the Trent Brown train like you apparently are.
Well, I mean, look, you saw the tape against Oakland. I mean, he is a mauler. I mean, when he's a difference maker, at the tackle spot.
In the run game, yes.
Yes, and that's what I'm talking about. Well, I'm talking specifically about the Patriots' run game because they haven't been able to run the ball with Sony Michel like they did last year, and I think that has a trickle-down effect on everything else they try to do.
In my opinion, the bigger part of it is not having Rob Gronkowski's presence on the field because, one, teams had to dedicate normally two people to him, especially when he's healthy, and you had to really, really account for him with one of your better players. And so they don't have to do that now. And then also they don't have a good or reliable deep threat. So, I mean, what Antonio Brown was supposed to be, he's not. And if they had Antonio Brown right there, the Patriots' offense would look a much, much better if they had a healthy Antonio Brown out there with his type of speed.
Does that make it a little curious why they jettisoned Josh Gordon? I know he'd been hurt. I know he's had a well-documented history of issues, but he was the one guy, even though he may not be that guy anymore, teams at least respected his ability to beat you deep, but now he's in Seattle.
Well, the fact that they were willing to do that and the fact they were willing to do that tells me that it wasn't working out for him with him. And then with Brown, obviously I think that was more of an owner decision than it was a football decision.
I think Antonio Brown forced some people's hands on that one.
Yeah, well, I don't think Brady was on board with that one. I got a very good vibe on that one that Brady wasn't on board with that. And I think if it was up to Belichick, he'd want to win football games, and he would just say the same things over and over again in press conferences, and that would kind of be that. But no, I mean, not having Brown, obviously never being able to utilize Brown for the most part, that was a big problem to what this offense could have been. And then, I mean, Jacoby Myers, he's got some speed to him. He may make some plays against the Chiefs, but he's really not the he's not the guy who can turn the tide for you. N'Keal isn't that individual either.
Yeah, N'Keal Harry's their first round pick, and the knock on him coming out of Arizona State, very talented, player, great hands, excellent red zone threat, no speed. I mean, that was always the issue with him. He was never fast, and he was never going to be a guy that could take the top off a defense.
And then Sanu is another individual that, I mean, he's a possession receiver at this stage in his career. There's not a lot of speed left to him. So, and he's still getting that chemistry with Brady to where I don't think they're going to have that till playoffs to kind of take some of the pressure off Edelman. But I genuinely believe that if you bracket Edelman or you double him at the line, keep him from getting clean, free releases, I think that takes away so much of what their offense is and what it can do, because that's Brady's safety blanket on most plays, and that's the guy he wants to get it to, and James White is the other one. And if he can't get it to those two guys, it turns sideways for him real quick.
Yeah, and Sanu, of course, is Mohamed Sanu, who they acquired in a trade with the Atlanta Falcons midseason here. But you brought up James White. James White's a guy who's had a quiet year in a lot of respects. Obviously he's the running back they use in the passing game. He had a big game last week, though, in helping the Patriots come back and almost beat the Houston Texans. And obviously that's an area that the Chiefs have struggled in, is defending running backs in the passing game. Think back to the Green Bay game and what Aaron Jones did. Is James White, how big a concern is James White and his skill set and what he could potentially do to this Chiefs defense for you?
I mean, what you're going to have to do with James White, I mean, when you're looking at the two running backs, Sony Michel, he's their power run back between the tackles, and they may do a screen with him or a check down, and he's kind of more of the physical presence like Kareem Hunt was for the Chiefs. He and he likes to break tackles. He's not as dynamic overall as Kareem was. But with James White, you're getting an individual that you – he's a finesse running back. He's more the guy you want to have outside the tackles. You want to throw into the flats. You want to do the screen passes with him.
Wheel routes.
And what ended up happening overall is that what the Texans had to do, they, if I remember correctly, I think they put Roby on him a handful of times. And what the Chiefs are going to have to do is they're going to have to take a safety, or they're going to have to take a corner, and they're going to have to dedicate it to White. Or when they start doing some of their pressures, they're going to have to force White to stay in and pass protect rather than sneak out of the backfield.
So if they decide to go with Sorensen, a Sorensen heavy...
I probably wouldn't have Sorensen going against White. I mean, you can a handful of times, but I think it's going to be a mismatch.
I was going to say, that does it make you worry about... I mean, that's kind of what they did in the Tennessee game, and it didn't work out. You know, they had Sorensen on the field a lot to get that extra safety in there. It did not work out well for the Chiefs defense that game when it came to stopping the run, ultimately. So do you think the Chiefs have figured out a better solution to that puzzle that they can put on the field against New England?
I think there are opportunities for a better one, whether they do it or not. I'm not sure. We'll find out on Sunday because... I mean, you could put Sorensen there, but I think Sorensen needs to be more of a physical presence elsewhere. What I would personally try to do is I would try to evaluate more if I could put either like a Jordan Lucas or Kendall Fuller against White, and kind of that's your assignment.
And I mean, Rashad Fenton, I think, would be an option there if he wasn't hurt too.
Yeah.
So
with his hamstring, and then bringing up Alex Brown from the practice squad today, I think that's or on Thursday. I think that's going to be. That's going to be for Fenton, I'll be surprised. I mean, a hamstring, that thing takes a couple weeks, depending on how severe it is. So, in fact, they brought up somebody as insurance for Claiborne and for Fenton that you would love to see them both back out there, especially this week. But we'll see how it plays out as the week goes on.
Yeah. So, you know, from that standpoint, let's talk about the defensive line. And do you... What are you seeing? They've been without Ogba. They said that, you know, they designated Xavier Williams to return. So obviously they feel like they need to bolster that interior rotation moving forward. What do you see from this defensive line? Because now we're kind of seeing who they are going to be. I think moving forward down the stretch of the season, moving into the playoffs. You know, Chris Jones, you know, they're using his versatility, you know, inside and out a little bit. You know, Alex Okafor continues to be good against the pass and continues to struggle at times against the run. But what do you make of the decision to bring Xavier Williams back?
I mean, they're going to have 3 weeks to decide on if he's able to come back and how he looks and everything. So I think that was more of a decision for down the road when it comes to playoff time or in the final week or two against the Bears and the Chargers and try to get him some work and try to get him ready for playoff time. So I think that's really more of a move down the road. But Xavier is a pass rusher. He can help you in the pass rush interior wise. He can kind of replace what you lost in Joey Ivey going to the Titans team. So I think that's kind of really more where that's at overall and where that thought process is. I mean, when you're looking at defensive line wise, ideally you're going to have Clark as one, Passanio and Jones rotating as another with Okafor on the edge, and then you have Jones coming inside on some pass rushing downs. You may have, depending, you probably want Saunders more in a pass rushing down, and then Xavier kind of working in to give him breathers, and then you have Nottie and Pinellas more of your run defenders. So I mean, it gives them a steady rotation to where players wouldn't get tired, like they did in the Chargers game down in Mexico, and also in that Patriots AFC Championship game last year.
Yeah, that way they don't have to line up off sides to kind of cheat the pass rush there. Too soon?
It'll always be too soon.
All right, anything else? Look, Tom Brady. People have been predicting the end times for Tom Brady for a long time. Do you believe it, or do you see actual evidence that Father Time, who, by the way, is undefeated, has Father Time caught up with Tom Brady, TB12?
Well, I mean, with Tom, you saw some of it last year. He didn't have the same power on his deep ball. He wasn't able to throw it the same distance, and he had to kind of really be more of a short to intermediate passer, and that's kind of still where he's at overall.
He struggles on those intermediate out routes too. I mean, like pushing the ball to the sideline is a challenge.
And he's struggling accuracy wise on the flats passes, just outside seven nine yards out there range wise. He's starting to sail those on a regular basis. But I mean, part of it is you got to go out there and pressure him and rattle him a little bit now, especially when he doesn't have Gronk and he can't throw to Edelman. I mean, he's willing to get rid of the ball quicker and he's willing to sacrifice the play to live another down. So I mean, there's a lot of opportunity, and you can see the steady decline, but it doesn't. It's still going to take a team effort to beat the Patriots overall. It's not just Tom slowly fading that's going to do the trick on that.
Right. Anything else worth mentioning about the old Patriot way offense?
No, it'll be in the game plan on KSHB.com.
Ooh, nice tease there. KSHB.com/Chiefs. Nick Jacobs game plan. If you want to go back and read past ones, they're on the website there as well.
And they normally have some points that ended up happening in the game.
They do. They're meaty. It's like a Dinty Moore stew. Very meaty.
I did that. I don't know what that is. I guess we can discuss that over break.
All right, let's do that. We'll be back on 4th and 1.
Home of the Chiefs. You give the kingdom what they want. Shows that go inside the locker room and get up close and personal. Any closer, and you need a helmet and a chin strap. Exclusive insight from the man who bleeds Chiefs red. A weekly podcast that's second to none. And starting next year, the preseason games play here. 41 Action News, Kansas City's home of the Chiefs.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. So, Nick, how'd you like this stew?
So how do they keep the carrots from being so?
Oh, it's a secret recipe. Okay. But I do. I like the vegetables.
I learned more
too.
About the stew during this break than I will ever care to imagine.
Meaty.
Oh, boy.
All right, let's talk about, you know, we talked about the Patriots offense. And look, it's not what it's been in years past. It's a shell of its former self. I mean, think about, they've won a lot of football games this year, but they haven't been doing it with style points necessarily. Like, they beat the Dallas Cowboys 13-9, and they had to have some help from the officials with a couple calls to ensure that result stood up. Obviously, you know, it's not, you know, they've taken a step back, I think. Has the Chiefs offense taken a step back too, though, from where they were last year? Because the numbers, the production, the red zone ability, and we've talked about Kareem Hunt being a big piece of that, but can we say that offense has taken a step back this year?
Yeah, I think you can. And I know that sounds weird to say and everything, but I happen to watch the Patriots game in week six last year this morning, and then I also watched the AFC Championship game. And so I got, you know, and you know me and my recall and memory and stuff like that. So
Wapner.
Yes. Yes. nice Rain Man reference. Thank you. Appreciate that. Right. So I'm able to kind of look at where they're
at. Next time, could you just say dynamite drop in, Todd, though? Because I kind of like that. Right. Continue.
No, I will not. I will not do that for you.
All right, I'll just have to do it myself.
Okay, that's you pat yourself on the back.
It's going to be awkward.
That's really kind of the story with you. That's a word I associate with Todd Palmer.
That's fair.
Yeah. So I don't even remember what we're talking about anymore because you made me wonder.
Oh, we were talking about the offense taking a step back how you had watched the Patriots game in week six and the Patriots AFC Championship game. Guess who else has excellent recall?
That's fantastic. Karma catches up on you real quick. That one.
Life comes too fast.
Keeps you humble. Keeps you humble. Here's what's so weird about it. It's like Tyreek and so dynamic. And in all honesty, in that first Patriots game, the difference was Kareem Hunt.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, I'm not kidding. Like, I mean, there were some runs where he cut back and he was explosive, and some of the catches he made out in the flats and some of that, I'm like, yeah, they don't have that on the offenses here. And
early third quarter, he had that like 75 yard catch and run for a touchdown.
They were down 24-9.
And that's like, what flipped the game.
That's what got him back in that game. And I mean, there's just so many times where I'm like, they just don't have that player this year. Doesn't matter if it's at receiver, running back, or whatever. They just don't have that. They don't have that player that's making those steps and those strides. Now, don't get me wrong, Mecole Hardman's an upgrade over Chris Conley from what I saw in the two games last year. But and they did a really good job getting Kelce open in that first game a handful of times. But it's just Mahomes. This year seems to be – last year he was really amped up for both games, and he overthrew, I think I counted four touchdowns that, like, if he puts on the money – that the first game's different, and they score a couple times in the first half of that first game, and then an AFC Championship, he missed that touchdown that would have tied it 7-7, and then he had another one that would have been a touchdown and kind of maybe helped swing some things overall. But I'm curious to see for Patrick how amped up he is for this game. How long do they allow him to stay in the pocket? Or do some of the receivers step up in this game? Because this Patriots defense and secondary is much, much better than what they were last year.
Yeah.
They aren't as big of a liability as they were last year. So, I mean, I'm just curious to see how the Chiefs attack this and what players are willing to step up. Is it going to be Byron Pringle, Sammy Watkins? Is Mecole Hardman going to step up? Is Blake Bell going to step up? Are the running backs going to step up? I mean, there's just a lot of people that I'm kind of curious. That is normally a key indicator.
Well, one guy we know who won't be stepping up is Darrell Williams because they put him on IR.
That is normally a key indicator.
Yes. How big a loss is that for the offense? Because he was a guy that, especially with Damian Williams being nicked up and missing time, he was a guy that was getting... he was kind of the feature back there because I still don't think they trust LeSean McCoy and his ball security, and they clearly don't feel like Darwin Thompson is ready to take on the load full time, or they preferred Darrell Williams over Darwin Thompson clearly. So how big a loss is that to have Darrell Williams done for the season?
He was a good power running back between the tackles for him, and I mean he didn't have a lot of tread on his tires, so that was another good aspect to it where he didn't have to worry about it. I'll be curious to see with the signing of Spencer Ware. I mean, obviously he knows the offense. He can be that power running back in some regard. I'm curious to see how his knee looks compared to where it was before the injury and if he can garner some of that ability back that he had before, because this is kind of let's be blunt, this is kind of like the final run for Spencer Ware in the NFL coming up here.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah, I'm curious to see if he's able to take advantage, if his body physically lets him take advantage of those opportunities. I know his mind and who he is as a person and how determined he is. I'm curious to see if his body will, with where he's at, if it'll allow him to kind of recapture a little bit of who he was.
But running back's probably the most brutal position in the NFL to play. I mean, if you look at the longevity of players at that position, it's the shortest of any position, and it's because whether you're in pass pro or whether you get the ball and you're running, you're taking a beating almost every offensive snap.
Right. Yeah, and that's why most teams ideally want to keep three or four running backs, because everybody's bigger, faster, stronger. So those guys are taking some wicked, wicked hits. And so the Chiefs, I mean, the Chiefs on a regular basis, people always get upset. They're like, why do they have four running backs? They don't need four running backs. And every year, like, I mean, two or three of those guys get hurt, and they have to shuffle them around week by week. I mean, the NFL is a long, long season.
I mean, if another running back gets hurt, I expect C.J. Spiller is going to get a call.
You just had to make a C.J. Spiller joke.
I did. I got jokes. Where do you think the Chiefs match? I mean, if you listen to Bill Belichick, he likes to talk about Lao Tzu and the art of war and attacking weaknesses and whatever, playing to your strengths, building on them, that kind of thing. When you look at this Patriots defense, I know we've talked about how their run defense isn't very strong, and there are some ways to attack them there. Are the Chiefs built, though, to take advantage of that weakness that the Patriots have? And if not, where do you see the areas where the Chiefs can apply some pressure?
Well, when I was putting my game plan together, I really wanted to put running the ball in there, because that you can do that against them. But this Chiefs offensive line, interior-wise, doesn't prove to me that it can right now. So I don't...
Yeah, you can do it against the Patriots, but the Chiefs can't do it against anybody.
They struggle. And so, like, I don't know if that's going to be an advantage for them. I hope they can step up and figure out a way and kind of be able to do that and utilize that. So
the pressure... You want to use Patrick Mahomes on the option?
Here's the reason why I do not want Patrick Mahomes running the ball. This is going to be an even even meatier column than any other article. I think the Patriots are going to have a spy on him at times like the Lions did, and I think they're going to have somebody waiting for him when he gets outside of the pocket, and like Hightower was a couple times in their matchup last year, and I think they're going to try to take him out.
Yeah, like punish him. Yeah,
they're going to take him out, and they're going to lay him out every chance they get. So that's why anything you can do to protect the franchise, let's probably do that. And so I think they're going to be aggressive. I think they're going to try to flush him out of the pocket on a regular basis, and then I think they're going to have a spy waiting for him when that does happen.
So in other words, you're going to be gritting your teeth and
I'm going to be nervous all
game. Wringing your hands.
I'm going to be nervous all game, but I'm nervous all the time because remember, Todd, paranoia equals prepared.
All right. Well, what do you think Bill Belichick's most paranoid about this week then? Is it Tyreek Hill and his speed? Is it Travis Kelce? Who do you think Belichick is right now saying this guy is not going to be the one that beats us?
With Bill Belichick, I think what his overall thing is I think they're going to take Stephon Gilmore, and I think they're going to put him on Tyreek when they can. And I think that's, you lock him down, that's done and over with. Then I think they're going to, and I think they'll bracket Tyreek at times if they need to. And then I think Kelsey's going to be the other one that I think they're going to hit him at the line of scrimmage, try to frustrate him, mentally take him out of the game. And then I think they're going to have two defenders accounting for him at times, whether it's a chip and somebody running with him over the middle or on his routes. But I think they're going to, I think Bill is going to take away Tyreek. I think he's going to try to take away Kelsey. And the Chiefs are going to have to be creative and move him around and motion him and do clear outs and pick routes and all that type of stuff. But at the end of the day, I think it all comes down to Bill saying Mahomes is the one that we can't let beat us. And the way we're going to have to do that is take away those two targets. Then we're going to force the players I mentioned before to be the ones that step up and beat the Patriots. And then we're going to have that spy ready for him, and we're going to make him uncomfortable all game. That's what I think the Patriots are after, and I think that's what they want to do. So this is a huge, huge week for the Sammy Watkins, McCole Hardmans, of the world.
I didn't hear you say DeMarcus Robinson.
DeMarcus Robinson, Byron Pringle, anybody that's not named Tyreek and Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes, like, this is the week where you need to step up.
Does Blake Bell get a touchdown this week?
If he does, then something's gone right, hopefully.
All right, offensive line-wise, this group's been back together. They're getting healthy. Is this offensive line, the way it's constructed, good enough to carry the Chiefs to a Super Bowl?
From a run game perspective, it's not. And I'm not. This is the month where they're going to have to prove it, and they're going to have to continue to gel together and consistently work together. But they've had issues in short yardage that I'm not optimistic when they get put in those situations, like they might against New England on a crucial third and one or fourth and one that they need to get and they're not able to. Like, you know, I hope they're not put in those situations, or if they are, I hope they execute, and then I could have some loyalty again, and some belief and some hope. But I mean, pass protection wise, they have some struggles in the interior too. And so, I mean, it's this offensive line, and this offensive line isn't as good as it was last year. And even then, Patrick bailed them out a handful of times. And this year, Patrick's having to bail from the pocket quicker.
All right, let's take a quick break, then we'll be back to wrap things up here on 4th and 1.
Home of the Chiefs. You give the kingdom what they want. Shows that go inside the locker room and get up close and personal. Any closer, and you need a helmet and a chin strap. Exclusive insight from the man who bleeds Chiefs red. A weekly podcast that's second to none. And starting next year, the preseason games play here. 41 Action News, Kansas City's home of the Chiefs.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Fourth and One. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. Nick, you know, I kind of mentioned this off the top. The Ravens are now sitting in the number one position in the AFC. I personally think that the Ravens are going to finish out the season as the top overall seed.
Yeah, that's kind of my expectation.
I mean, they've got to play the Bills, and that's a big game because Buffalo needs a win to keep pace or overtake the Patriots in the AFC East race. And they've got a very good defense. I'll be very interested to see what Sean McDermott and company come up with in terms of how they're going to approach Lamar Jackson. I think we saw last week San Francisco did a decent job at it, still lost the game on a field goal. I'll be interested to see how the Buffalo Bills build off of that. Maybe those guys can start building in a blueprint that other people can take and build off of for the postseason to make those guys vulnerable. But I think ultimately Baltimore, even if they lose this game, they're going to be 13-3 or better. I think they're the team that's going to the road to the Super Bowl in the AFC is going to go through Baltimore. So the race, though, I think is still wide open for the two seed. I mean, Houston already has a win against the Patriots last weekend. The Chiefs, can we agree that if the Chiefs lose this one, they're out of the race for the number two seed?
I think it's going to be very difficult to get better than a 3 or 4 at that point. But, yeah, that's kind of the situation they're in.
So, but let's say they win. Let's say the Texans win. You know, they all get within one game of the Patriots, who the Patriots also still have to play Buffalo, you know, so there are opportunities for the Patriots to lose another game down the road, you know, and Houston has to play the Tennessee Titans twice, so you know, Houston, obviously Tennessee's going to be playing for their playoff lives as well, so there is still an opportunity for the Chiefs to get the number two seed, but they have to do it. You know, it has to start with a win in New England. I mean, where ultimately, do you think that the Chiefs are going to be able to catch enough breaks to get there? And how important would it be for the Chiefs to get that bye and guarantee themselves that home playoff game in the divisional round?
I mean, in terms of the bye aspect of it, I mean, it would be huge for this football team to have a week to rest and to figure some things out. So, I mean, hopefully they win out and can put themselves in that position. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. So, I don't know. I don't know what will or won't happen.
Well, I mean, because after this, the Chiefs have the Broncos at home. They play at the Bears, which is a Sunday night game on 41 Action News for the moment. Possibility it gets flexed out, but for the time being, it's Sunday night. And then they finish up with the Los Angeles Chargers. The schedule gets, I would say, easier after this week, and there's a good chance that the Chiefs can finish with a strong kick, especially if they win this one or in position for the number two seed. What do you think about, though, the matchup and knowing that there's a chance they'll see each other again? How much gamesmanship will there be between Andy Reid and Bill Belichick as far as what they're willing to show in this matchup?
I think that's an interesting question for each team because they both have a lot on the line here for the Patriots to still keep their bye and for the Chiefs to try to be able to get a bye. So I'm very curious to see who's willing to do what they have to do to win the battle versus who wants to win the war overall long term in the postseason. So that's something that I'm really excited to kind of watch on Sunday overall is who's going all out to win this game versus who's like, I'm probably not going to show this because I'm going to need this down the road here. So I'm very, very curious on that.
And part of me wants to say that Andy might be the guy who will do that because I think Andy might feel like he can show them something and then build off that, you know, throw them an okie doke, you know, based off what they've seen on tape, some tendency breakers in a rematch. So I'm kind of hopeful that the Chiefs will be the ones that go all out and try to make a statement in this game.
It'll be very interesting.
All right. Hey, guys, we know you'll be watching. We will talk to you again Sunday night after the Chiefs-Patriots game, and we hope you enjoyed this podcast. We hope you had a great week, and we hope you have a good time watching the game on Sunday.
All right. Andrew.